Hi there, and welcome to Gems of Wisdom with Teresa Marone and Lauren Santerre. Join us for the stories of Bridget's Place as God transforms the hearts, minds, and lives of women today. Our guest today is Anita Cruz with Purple Songs Can Fly. Anita and her award-winning staff are everyday angels using music as their ministry. Their mission is positively affecting the lives of pediatric cancer patients and their families through the writing, recording, and sharing of their original songs. We'll find out how they fulfilled this mission statement for both inpatient and outpatient children at her recording studio at the Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Center in just a moment. But first, help me welcome Lauren Santerre. How are you doing today, Lauren?
I am really well. Thank you, Teresa. It's good to be here. How are you?
I'm good. And you know, I'm really excited about our show today, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to share with our listeners today a little bit more about Bridget's Place and what the mission statement is of our journey there.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we at Bridget's Place, we offer and provide educational events and dialogue opportunities and, of course, celebrations, ways for women to gather together for personal and spiritual transformation. And it's really just a community for women to come together and experience the love of God with each other and to have a wonderful time for fellowship and to experience spiritual transformation. So that's what we do at Bridget's Place.
Yes, we're really a community there, and we would love for you to join our community, both on social media at Bridget's Place on Facebook, or to visit our website, bridgetsplace.org, for more information about our current events and more about the people that are part of our community. Now, one of the things that we do, I think I ought to introduce Lauren a little bit more fully. She is the executive director of Bridget's Place, and we've been doing Gems of Wisdom together now for a little while, and we're finding it a wonderful way to interact with some of the people that mean a lot to us, some of the volunteers and people who have been part of the growth and the community that we've developed at Bridget's Place. But we have a little lesson with Lauren every week, and we call it our gem of the day. So, Lauren, what is our gem of the day for our show today?
Yeah, so our gem of the day today is trust, and we have been doing these gems now for a few weeks, and this week I really just wanted to focus on trust. And so I brought for us today a couple of verses from Psalm 56 that says, "In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" So I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes breathing that in and breathing in the trust that we can place in God in our lives. And I have been making my way through a beautiful devotional book by Jeannie Miley that focuses on the Psalms for us. And I just wanted to invite our listeners and invite you and our guest, Anita, to think about, you know, and to ponder and to breathe in the trust that we can place in God in our lives. And she has a couple of really beautiful sentences in this devotional on this passage. And she says, you know, "Focus our mind and heart on the presence of God in whom there is no fear. When we are asked to face a challenge for which we are not prepared, breathe in this prayer. And when we are tempted to return to a self-defeating thought or attitude or behavior, breathe in this prayer. Always seek the shelter of the presence of God and let God's omnipotence be the measure of our expectation. Let the adequacy of God meet us at the point of our inadequacy."
Wow. Oh, well, you know, Lauren, you always come up with something that seems to hit just with perfect synchronicity. And, you know, I kind of feel like that might be even more the case today than usual. because there just seems to be a lot going on right now that is testing that that feeling that everything's going to be all right and everything is a time in the season. And, you know, I've just been hearing that over and over from a lot of people. Has that been your experience in the past few days or maybe couple of weeks?
Yeah, you know, I really, even in my personal life, my family, you know, I have a lot going on there, and my grandmother's having surgery tomorrow, and I have lots of friends right now that are just experiencing a lot of stuff going on in their lives, you know, personal challenges and family members with issues, and there just seems to be a lot of really hard things right now going on, and even just, you know, very challenging things in the lives of people that I love, and even myself kind of looking at the future and what the future holds. And, you know, I think trust is such a, it's really hard. I mean, it's a word we throw around, and especially as people of faith, whatever your faith is, you know, we can talk about it, but really living it is a completely different thing. Completely different. Yeah, walking that when you can't see the path ahead. You know, I think that's really the hard one. How do you do it? You know, it's or when you're in pain. You know, how do you trust when you're in pain? It's very difficult, and there's really not usually an easy answer.
No, it's not one of those sound bites, but I guess the only input I have on that is that we have to trust, because we have to understand we don't see the whole picture and we don't have all the answers, and we never will. So, you know, that's kind of it's a catch-22. It's kind of a relief, but then it's also, you know, more of a blind trust, isn't it?
Yeah, there's definitely that that releasing, that letting go, you know. And I think as we've been talking a little bit about the Lenten season and looking at the cross, and I've been meditating on the cross a lot, which is always a source of challenge for me. And there's so much wrapped up in what does Jesus' death mean as a Christian, and then as a Christian who loves people who aren't Christian, what does that mean? And I think that there's a lot there in the concept of trust and, you know, trusting God's plan for us and in God's plan for humanity. And I think that there's so much in what it is to be willing to basically empty out our lives, you know, to be willing to say, you know, I will put down my expectations. I will put down what I think maybe I need in this moment. I will put down what I wanted from life. I will put down what I expected to get, you know, what I thought was going to make me happy, what I thought I deserved, all of those things, right? And then I'm going to be open to being resurrected to the life that God has for me instead.
I think
it's huge.
I'm sorry.
No,
it is huge,
okay.
But I think that we should take the next few weeks on Gems of Wisdom and just fully explore that one thing. Let's do that.
Okay.
Because I just know that you have so much more to offer us on that. And I'd like the chance to think about that for a week, because that just really resonated with me. And I'd like to bring Anita on now, because she is someone that could really speak to resurrection. And I'll just share with the listeners a brief bio. Purple Songs Can Fly is, she's the founder and the executive director of this. It's a nonprofit here in Houston, Texas. She's a classically trained pianist. She's beautiful. She absolutely sails, just holding golden light. I've met her one time, and you can feel her from across the room. She's so beautiful. And she began her own music career while completing a master's degree in piano performance. And then I'll let her start the story there. Anita, welcome to Gems of Wisdom.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here and wonderful to hear you speak, Lauren. Absolutely beautiful. And you too, Teresa. I'm very honored to be here.
Well, thank you. We're honored to have you. And, you know, I look forward to getting to know you better as the listeners do on the show. And you have the kind of job that's really more of a mission. And it's something that many people, when they hear about it, in fact, I was telling one of my friends that I was going to be honored with you on my show this evening, and she was just like, oh, good grief. I mean, you just bring such a reaction, people who hear what you do. I'd love to hear you tell us in your own words how this came about in your mind and how it became a reality, just that little transition of getting the inspiration and then bringing it into fruition.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, now in retrospect, as I look at, you know, these years, we're going to begin our 10th year this spring. So, you know, I've had time to reflect on how this all came to happen, to have a recording studio in the Cancer Center, but also in my own life to see how my life evolved to kind of bring me to do this. So I was a musician. I was a pianist. I was trained as a pianist, and I didn't start writing music until I was in graduate school. And from the moment the writing of music started for me, I felt just almost like a compulsion that I had to write music. And but it came very late in my life, and I luckily had a teacher in graduate school who was who understood me and kind of gave me permission to make this sort of change in direction and become a composer, songwriter. And when I did that, many things just started coming together for me and understanding myself more. And so I think in my own journey of creating music and songs and then gradually performing them and singing, because I was very, very inward, very, very, I would say, shy person, but I was able to play the piano and be very expressive on the piano, but I wasn't able to really open my mouth. And so writing songs, I originally wrote them for other singers, and then gradually I was able to sing myself, and it was a very long sort of healing process of being able to open up and share who I was. And I think that process prepared me to listen to other people and listen to children. And so in my own teaching, I taught piano for many years, and in my own teaching, I encourage my students to also compose their own music and write their own songs. So it was a long process of developing my own songwriting skills and then helping children develop theirs. And by this time, the technology had advanced, and I ended up having a little studio at home so I could take my students into my studio, and record their own songs. And when all that came together, it was around the time that I was a visiting artist in the Cancer Center. And I think all of these things came together at once. And the Arts and Medicine program in the Cancer Center was very extensive. And there were many, many one-on-one arts activities for the children. But the music component was more performance oriented experience for the children, where they brought in musicians to play. And so I saw this kind of missing component and had this idea to bring music one-on-one in terms of creating music to the children. So that's a long roundabout story, but that's how I ended up there and ended up with this idea. And the Cancer Center did not have art therapist or music therapist. Their whole program is artist base. So it was the perfect fit for me to present this idea. And so now, over 800 songs later, we're part of the Cancer Center, and we've been there now since 2006.
I have a testimonial here from the mother of Pamela. And she says, "My daughter recorded Higher Than the Skies. She wrote the song, and it's so very beautiful. Anita is a blessing for these children, and what an uplifting, happy day we had. Thanks to all of you. But you don't do this work alone. You bring in a group of people, very special people that work with you. Is that true?"
Yes. Over the years, we've had several incredible songwriters. The very first songwriter that was with me for the first, I would say, 3 years was Sandy Stewart, an incredible songwriter. And then Aaron Kaufman came. He was, at the time, still in college at Carleton College, and he read a New York Times story about Purple Songs Can Fly and wrote to the hospital to see if he could be an intern. He ended up coming for a summer as an intern, and he was so gifted and so wonderful with the children that he became a paid intern, and then we ended up hiring him as part of the staff, and he's still involved. In fact, this weekend he spent the whole weekend we're involved with a bereavement camp for families who've lost a child, and the last, I would say, 5 years, we've been involved with that camp, and we helped siblings to write and record a song together as part of the camp. So Aaron was there this weekend and wrote an incredibly beautiful song with the children. We've had Trisha Fox, who's another incredibly talented singer-songwriter. She is getting married in April and is living in Austin now, but she wrote many, many beautiful songs with the children. And this year we've had just an amazing year because we now have a fellowship, a full-time position at the fellowship. And the first fellow is Christian Spear, and she's been here all year. She's a student at LSU, but she took a year to come back to Houston and work with the children. And she herself was a patient in the cancer center from the ages of 4 to 8. And her doctor is now right across the hall, and so she's seen her every day. And so Christian is a long-term survivor, but also an incredibly talented singer-songwriter. So we've been very, very blessed to have this really talented, caring, loving artists that have been part of Purple Songs Can Fly. And this last year, we partnered with the Houston Symphony and now have Houston Symphony musicians coming and in the studio with the children and playing their instruments on their songs, and that's been just beautiful. So incredible things have happened, and we've had many guest artists that are coming through town, and they'll come up and come into the studio. So many, many beautiful times in the studio.
I want to share with the listeners the main headings of your programs that I'm seeing on your website, which is purplesongscanfly.org, is outpatient, inpatient, and bereavement. And mm-hmm. I'd like to spend the last 5 minutes of our conversation, if you don't mind, shouting out to some of the people who might be in need of your services. In a very gentle way, to explain just very briefly what they can do to get involved with the outpatient, inpatient, or the bereavement areas that you work in.
Okay. So we are in the clinical care building of Texas Children's Hospital. On the 14th floor is the Cancer and Hematology Center. And the Arts and Medicine program is open to any child who's being treated in the clinic or a sibling. So we work with not only the patients but their siblings. So if anyone is a patient at Texas Children's Cancer Center or they have a sibling that is interested in writing a song, they can contact me through our website. We also have portable studios and work with the children bedside, so that would be the inpatient part of the program. And then the bereavement component is what I was describing, that we are involved with the bereavement camp every year, and we'll probably be doing more with bereavement and families that are interested in coming into the studio and siblings after a child has passed. So those are the programs that we're involved with now. We're also, this year, we're writing a musical. Six of the children who've written songs, the musical is based on their songs, and the story is woven, weaving their songs together, and it's called Journey to Hope. And that is going to be performed.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it's going to be performed at Ovations in the Rice Village on June 12th. And probably some other dates that are to be determined. We're also involved with the Houston Symphony Day of Music on July 12th, and some of the children will be performing part of the musical for Day of Music.
Lots of things going on. I'd just like to ask you, because this is Gems of Wisdom, and we are interested in kind of wrapping the whole thing back around full circle, what would you say has been the most transformational thing that you've experienced through your association with Bridget's Place? I know I met you performing at the St. Bridget's Day Feast, and I met Christian that night, and it was a magical performance that you did. You completely uplifted the room. And I would just like for you to share with our listeners why you get involved with Bridget's Place and what it is about your ministry and Bridget's Place that kind of comes together for you.
Well, I, you know, originally became involved with Bridget's Place through Betty Adam, the founder, and was involved performing for different events. And I just always found the people that attended the events so warm, and it just seemed like my particular kind of music was perfect in those settings. And so I was always inspired to write more music and have music that would communicate what different events were about. So I've written music over the years for different events for Bridget's Place, and I just think it's a beautiful community, and I'm really, really happy that Lauren is the new executive director. I just think it's just beautiful what she's doing.
Well, I too. Lauren, would you like to follow up with anything with Anita today?
Well, I just want to say, you know, thank you, Anita, for being on the show, and you know, Anita has just really been a personal light of beauty for me. And, you know, I think her, as you said, her essence just really transmits the grace and love that she puts out into the world and shares with those that she works with and those that she comes into contact with. So I'm just honored to have her on the show today.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if I really answered your question, Teresa, but I would say, you know, I think that music is transformative and creativity in general. And I think that my being involved with Bridget's Place has led me to, you know, deeper parts of myself by being able to be connected with some really wonderful, wonderful people. And so I hope that answers your question.
It does.
Very
and
transformative.
I appreciate it. I think that's the word of the day, transformation and trust, or trust in the transformation. And once again, this is Gems of Wisdom, and we're speaking with Anita Cruz with Purple Songs Can Fly. You can find her at purplesongscanfly.org. Anita, thank you so much for taking the time to be with Lauren and I today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, Lauren, we've had a great show.
We have.
We really, really have. We're getting this down. What do you think?
Yes, I think it's wonderful, and the spirit is definitely showing up with us.
I think it is. And I just wanted to share one more thing with our listeners. I'm going to do this at the end of the show for a couple of weeks just to kind of get it out there, because we want to make sure that everyone knows that we create bridges for women of all faiths to trust the word of the day, find and follow their path of spiritual expression. And we believe that spirituality is an expression that's shared, communicated, and supported with works of action. So we invite you to volunteer and get involved with our works of action. Bridget's Place has a history of encouraging Christian and interfaith dialogue through things such as programs, even plays. And don't we have a performance coming up in April, Lauren?
We do. Thank you. Yes, April 4th is Easter in memory of her, and it highlights five women that were experiencing and surrounding Jesus at the time of his death and resurrection. And it's a beautiful, beautiful experience that is expressed and sung by the Houston Chamber Choir. And we really encourage women and men from all different faith traditions to come to this experience. It's a way to encounter Easter in a very different and interesting and unique way. And so we really invite people to come out and come to this very unique event. You will not see another expression of women sharing their story of the cross in Houston. So please come and join us. And there's more information on our website about that as well.
Yes, and that website is bridgesplace.org. And we're so glad that you've joined us today. On behalf of Lauren and myself, we want to say that we're helping you so that you can help others. Join us in that mission. And once again, thanks so much to our beautiful guest today, Anita Cruz. And we'll see you next week.